Good morning, friends. It is good to be in worship with you on August 1st, although you might find that your bulletin says that it is July 26th. It is August 1st, and, oh, it's August 2nd. Crumbs. I'm so sorry, friends. It's my birthday. I should know what day it is. It's August 2nd? It's like, I know what day it is. I have great boundaries. All of the rest of the material you'll find in your bulletin is accurate and up to date. The hymns are right. The words are right. We just really flubbed that like July 26th part. But good news, the call to worship is entirely correct. So I invite you to rise in body or in spirit and join me in our call to worship. Siblings in Christ, arise. Let us lift our hearts, our eyes, our voices. The living God, the living, moving Spirit of God has called us together in witness, in celebration, in struggle. Reach out toward each other. Our God reaches out towards us. Let us worship God. Amen. Beloved, the peace of Christ is a peace which passes understanding of the world. It cannot be contained or controlled, but it longs to be shared among the people of God. May the peace of Christ be with you. I invite you to greet one another in Christ's peace. Thank you. Welcome, friends. Welcome in to festival worship here at Old South Church in Boston. Welcome in from the humidity and the heat, in from the haste and the hurry, in from all of the everyday and existential worries of the world. Welcome in to worship of the living God. Here at Old South, we want to be a place where everyone can find a home. Whoever you are, whoever you love, whatever your sexuality or gender, your racialized identity or ability, your ethnicity or nationality, your age and stage, whether Jesus is an old friend or an almost stranger, we want to welcome you in. The easiest and best way to do that, if you are new here, is to find one of the friendship pads that should be in every row, to pick it up, open it up, fill it out, and give us a little bit of information about who you are and how we can be praying for you. Our pastor, Ashley, will reach out to you in the week ahead to learn more about your story and how Old South can be your church home. We are a vibrant and a busy church with a lot going on. Worshiping together on Sunday mornings is just one part of it. Immediately after service today, you can either join Docent Liz Morgan for a tour of the sanctuary, which is the beautiful room on the other side of the hallway you came in on, or you can join your fellow worshipers for coffee hour out on the sloping sidewalk. Tonight at 7:30, particularly for folks who are worshiping with us online, it is our small group, our digital small group Sunday, and so you can meet with Pastor Ashley at 7:30 on Zoom. The details for that are in your bulletin or your online bulletin. But with all that said, beloveds, let us continue in worship with our anthem. Christ has broken down the wall.
Hi, kids. It's Miss Kate. Have you ever noticed how most people love small animals? Whether we're talking about cute little birds getting fed in the nest or a pile of puppies or kittens, there's something about tiny infant animals that we just cannot get enough of. Why do you think that is? Maybe it's their big eyes that seem almost too big for their heads. Maybe it's the soft fuzz that covers them that makes you just want to touch them. Or maybe it's the sweet little sounds they make, whether it's a cheep, a growl, or a meow. I think that something in these very young creatures calls to us. It makes us want to protect them and keep them safe because they are so very vulnerable. They could so easily get hurt. Something within us tells us that we should protect them. They need to be kept warm. They need to be fed and to be sheltered. There's something in their vulnerability that makes us pay attention, that calls to us to help. The spirit of gentleness, of caring for something that is vulnerable, is one of the fruits of the Spirit from Scripture. Gentleness is one of the ways that we allow God to work through us in caring for the parts of creation that are weaker and vulnerable. There's a selflessness about gentleness. While puppies might make us happy, they don't give you what the things that this world tells us are important. They can't give you power, and they can't give you money. All the kittens can give you are a few smiles and, you know, possibly a few scratches by accident. And yet, we are drawn to them. Learn to listen to those moments, to the moments when you're drawn to something or someone that needs your gentleness. There may be no reason for you to care for them except that it feels right. They will not necessarily pay you back or even make things easy on you. But we're called to help, to tend, and to care for this world that we're in and even each other. So listen for those moments when you sense you can care, when you're drawn towards those who are vulnerable to help out and to protect them. It's a noble calling and one we can all participate in. Will you pray with me, friends? Dear God, we thank you for the wonder of your creation, that we enter life as tiny, vulnerable babies who need help in every way. May we remember that we were loved and helped gently into becoming the big people we are today. And may we gently share our strengths with those who need them. We pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who shares his gentle strength with all of us, even today. And we all say, Amen.
A reading from the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 4, verses 7 through 12. Again, I saw vanity under the sun, the case of solitary individuals without children or siblings, yet there is no end to all their toil, and their eyes are never satisfied with riches. For whom am I toiling, they ask, in depriving myself of pleasure? This also is vanity and an unhappy business. Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up the other. But woe to the one who is alone and falls and does not have another to help. Again, if two lie together, they keep each other warm. But how can one keep warm alone? And though one might prevail against another, two will withstand one. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. These are the words of Scripture. May we be blessed with understanding.
Thank you.
Would you all pray with me? Oh God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The smell of Jamaica pine after the rain in the springtime. The curt giving of directions to tourists in a slightly too loud Boston brogue. The no-line system at Mike's Pastry in the North End. The centuries-old cattle paths that have somehow become our city streets. The courtyards of Beacon Hill and the oil lamps that light the way in nighttime. The overflowing cookouts at Franklin Park in the summertime with speakers bigger than the trucks that carry them. The sticky, humid warmth of a tea station on a hot summer day. Piccolo in Roxbury, Angela's in Eastie, Ali's Roti in Mattapan, Salty Girl in the Back Bay, New Saigon Sandwich in Chinatown. The MFA, the ICA, the Izzy, Stu, the art galleries of Newberry Street, the huge murals all across the city that tell us that art is something for all of us. This city with its beauty and cultures, its histories and charm, world-class institutions and academia and tech and science, home to 672,973 people. It is home to so much beauty. It's also home to so much pain. In a recent Boston Public Health Commission report, 19.1% of adults reported that they could not count on anyone to provide them with emotional support when they needed to talk about a problem or make a difficult decision. That's nearly 1 in 5. 1 in 5 say that they have no one they can count on when they need someone. These are our neighbors. And if it's 1 in 5 and there's about 100 people in this room, then it's some of us. Some of us here in this room, some of us who watch online, someone who sits in these seats with you every week, but who you've never really said hi to, or someone who walked in here today looking for a clean, air-conditioned place, or maybe it's not someone else. Maybe it's you. You who believe there is no one you could talk to when you need someone. Boston is not alone in this. Former Surgeon General Vivek Murthy declared loneliness and isolation to be an epidemic in 2023. He had conducted a national listening tour, and people just kept telling him that they felt isolated, invisible, and insignificant. They would say things like, "I have to shoulder all of life's burdens all by myself." Or, "If I were to disappear tomorrow, no one would notice." The literature confirms this, that over the past 20 years in our country, time spent alone has increased and time spent connecting with others has decreased. This is a public health problem. Loneliness has long-term effects on individuals, let alone communities. Dr. Murthy writes that the mortality impact of being socially disconnected is similar to that caused by smoking up to 15 cigarettes a day. And right here in this city that we call our own, 1 in 5 of us is so alone that we think there is no one we could talk to when we really needed to. Everything is vanity. Everything is vanity, the teacher exclaims over and over again in the book of Ecclesiastes. The author declares that human life, it is vanity. The word translated here as vanity is the Hebrew word havel, which might be better translated as that which is fleeting and unsatisfying, chasing after the wind. The author of the book of Ecclesiastes has grown weary of life's travails and death's inevitability. And yet this sage from our scripture, he's no nihilist. Rather, he knows that human life is fleeting and therefore oh so precious. And so we ought not spend our time in that which will only go into the wind. He lists only a few things that will last. One of them, which Ashton read today, it's friendship. To belong. To belong, this is not vanity. These ties that we build between each other, they last. They are of meaning and of import to God's self. We know this because Scripture tells us it's true. At the very beginning of Scripture, in the book of Genesis, God declares that it is not good for human beings to be alone. And yet, it's so hard to make friends. For us adults especially, maybe. Once we've aged out of grade school playdates or the ready-made community that some of us found in summer camp or college, or for those who are retired who left their workplace and find themselves suddenly adrift. We don't know who to spend a free afternoon with, let alone who to call to give us a ride to the hospital or talk through a hard thing. A few years ago, my family moved. In our old neighborhood, we knew most of our neighbors. It was impossible to walk to a bodega without running into at least two people that we knew. But once we moved, we floated by in this sort of sad anonymity. A few months in, one Friday night, in order to avoid having to make dinner for ourselves, we wandered into a brewery. And by night, I mean toddler parent night, so it was about 5 p.m. On the covered porch was a handful of parents and kids, most of them the same age as our kid. The children were playing trucks and running around. The parents were talking. I followed our kid around a little bit, offering him a little social grease with his peers. I would try to pop in and out of conversation with the adults, where I let them know that we had moved just a while ago. And then, when it was time to leave, one of the women, she turned to me, and she said, "It's so hard to make friends. What's your number?" And so I gave her my number, and that was then that we learned we both had Colorado roots. You see, there's only two area codes in Colorado, and so giving someone's phone number tells you where your phone's from. And she texted me back that night, offering to hang out and to let us know that that group is at the brewery pretty much every Friday night. A modern miracle. And so we go to that brewery, despite me not drinking and the toddler being a toddler, we go there most Friday nights. We go when we can, not when we want to. Because sometimes, most of the time, by Friday, we are completely fried and cannot imagine leaving our home, let alone putting on hard pants or fixing my hair, but we show up. We show up in our sweatpants or our soccer shorts and messy hair, toddlers at various stages of dysregulation. We show up. And as we've done so, we have become the kind of people that people can call when things are hard. Pinch hit babysitters or listening ears when someone has died. Friends who have moved beyond the pretense of perfection to really be community. Two are better than one because they have good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up the other. But woe to one who is alone and falls and does not have another to help. Church, it matters that you're here. It matters that you got here on a summer Sunday, or that you joined online, and I know I will see you at online small group tonight, 7:30 EST. It matters. It matters that we show up for each other, not only when it's easy, but when it's hard. When we don't want to put in the effort, when it seems like we could just stay home alone. It matters. It matters because 1 in 5 of us feels so alone that we do not know who to turn to. It matters because it's not good for human beings to be alone. The weight of any one of our lives is too much to bear alone, especially in these times where the social fabric is thinning and fraying at an alarming rate. Connection is inconvenient. It requires a kind of vulnerability that can feel embarrassing, like inviting someone over to your untidied house. Connection requires that we invite each other anyway. To not apologize for our dishes or our dust, but to know that every single one of us has more mess than we could possibly manage on our own. Belonging is not a passive thing either. In order to really belong in a community, you have to take responsibility for it. If church is to be the people, not the building or the programs or the pastors, then we have to allow ourselves to be inconvenienced for each other. We need to ask things of each other, which includes asking for help when we need it. Not for the sake of the church, but for the sake of our souls. Belonging will ask something of you, but it will also improve your health. It'll decrease your risk for dementia and cardiovascular problems. It will make your communities safer. It will also increase the possibility of a casserole dropped off on your doorstep or a card in your mailbox right when you needed it. Old South, I wonder, what if we made it a goal to meaningfully impact the loneliness of this city that we call our own? But putting ourselves out there, it's hard. And so how to do it? Start small. Start very small. Start today. Stay for 5 minutes after church. 5 minutes. Talk to someone. Notice who is alone and strike up a conversation. But what will I say? You worry. Have no fear. A key to conversation with strangers. You will say hello. You will ask them their name. They will say yours. And then this question unlocks conversations in very many places. You can ask someone what books they are reading or what TV they are watching. Include both in case they don't do one or the other. That's it. Then they might ask the same of you in 5 minutes, a connection. Or if you're feeling a little braver, or maybe this is your second conversation, ask them why they came to church. All of us have a small reason why we came to church, like, oh, it's part of my routine, or I've always gone to church. Each of us has a pretty bigger answer to that question, too. Why we show up here week after week after week. Ask that of each other. And then make it a habit. 5 minutes, stay every week, week after week. If we are to be a sanctuary in this city, as I know we are, we will need to make the brave move to reach out to each other over and over again. 1 in 5 Bostonians has no one to talk to. Surely some of us right here in this room. It is not good for human beings to be alone. We need each other. God has given us the gift of community, but it's up to us to build it. Conversation by conversation, risk by vulnerable risk, day by day by day by day. May we commit to this holy work, right here and now. Start today. Our very lives depend on it. Amen.
God be with you. May the Spirit of the living God fall afresh on us. Holy Spirit guides our way and ignites our hope. Let us pray. You can have a seat. Holy God. God, you promise that two are better than one, and that a cord of three strands is not quickly broken. You make us for relationship with one another and with you. And so your people are bold to come to you in prayer. God, we are bold to lay our hands open to you, to lay our hearts open to you as they in turn break open at the suffering of the world. Holy One, we pray for peace across your good world, in Iran, in Gaza, in the Ukraine, in Sudan, in every place where suffering turns into violence. We pray that you might draw close, that you might soften swords into plowshares and spears into pruning hooks, that young ones might know the love of their parents' arms and never again hear the sound of an airstrike above them. God, we pray for peace in our land. As scarcity slips into selfishness, as fear of the stranger writes laws that end lives, God, grant your people courage to live and work for a different world. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear. Give us mouths that move that we might together say never again, that we might live lives that mean it. Good and gracious God, we pray for peace in our own lives. In places where cruelty has left us hurting, where grief has left us breathless. In all the places where we've severed ourselves to fit into an extractive world. God, we pray that your spirit might be a balm. We pray that your spirit might be a balm as we share these prayers. Prayers to which we cannot give words in the silence of our hearts. Beloved, you are always loving, always healing, always making your people free. We trust and hold hope in your faithfulness in every circumstance. And join our voices together now in prayer, praying to our great mother, our good creator, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
So
Our faith invites us to engage with the world together, across differences and similarities, across borders and dividing lines of all kinds. Our faith invites us to engage with our siblings of different faiths. And here at Old South, one of the main ways that we do that is through our work with the Greater Boston Interfaith Organization, or GBIO. GBIO is an interfaith community organizing nonprofit, which works for the public good by listening, training, and organizing people across religious, racial, ethnic, class, and neighborhood lines. They believe that when we organize, we win. And today we celebrate a win as part of our weekly pushback campaign. GBIO's Not With Our Money, Citizens campaign brought a group of churches, temples, organizations, and municipalities together to pressure Citizens Bank to divest from funding Geo Group and CoreCivic, private prison companies building ICE detention centers across America. After months of organizing, protesting, and negotiating with Citizens, on July 17th, the bank announced that they would end their lending relationship with Geo Group and CoreCivic. In this, they bent to the pressure of effectively organized people of good conscience. Friends, your gifts today will go to all of Old South's ministries of mercy and justice. But we lift up the work of GBIO this morning as a potent reminder that humans working together can bend the arc of the moral universe towards justice. Take heart, beloveds, and hear these words from Paul in his letter to the church at Galatia. Do not grow weary of doing good, for we will reap at harvest time if we do not give up. This morning's offering will now be given and graciously received.
Of thanks to Sam O, who you see is joining us. Thank you, Sam O. We're always glad when Sam joins us in worship, but I did want to say just a special word, not only of thanks, but also of celebration. Many of you know that for the past 2 years, Sam has been a professor of music in Pennsylvania, and that has meant that while we have been able to continue to see him during those break times, you know, in the winter holiday and over the summer, we haven't seen Sam during the two semesters, the fall and spring semester. He's been there. But after this two-year sojourn, Sam is returning to Boston. He's going to be in Boston full time. And so I just want to offer that up as a celebration. We're so glad that we'll have Sam back all the rest of the times of the year. And I also wanted to convey that because I didn't know how widely it was known. I knew some of you might know that information, but especially for this group, the group that is your worshiping community as a festival worshiper, I wanted to make that news more widely known. So just one more maybe round of applause for Sam. So glad we get you. And I think at this point in the service, Sam is going to be in on most of the other music for the rest of our time together. So you'll get to celebrate him in a lot of other ways. Now I hope you'll enjoy this arrangement of Come Ye Sinners for our offertory.
To save you, Father.
Friends, will you pray with me? God, we are grateful that you gather your people together, that we might share life, share joys, share sufferings, share everything in between. God, we are grateful that you have brought Sam and Tony back into our midst, that we might see and hug and share life with them as well. God, we are grateful for all of the ways that they give to this church, all of the ways that all of your gathered people give to this church, of their time, of their talent, of their treasures, of their prayers. God, together we pray for what we share. We pray for our common wealth, for our common gifts, for our common life. We pray for this, your church, that you might tend and keep it, and that together we might be a witness to your love in the world. Amen.
Beloved of God, life is short, and we do not have much time to gladden the hearts of those who make this way with us. So be swift to love, and make haste to be kind. And as you do, know that you go with the blessing of God who created you, with Jesus who sets you free, and the Holy Spirit, your guide and companion your whole life long. Amen.